Dear Heavenly Father, I thank you. I thank you, God, that you are my God, and you're so glorious, and we have a chance each week to come and sing your praises. We have a chance each week to open your word and hear from you. And so, God, I pray that as we open your word, that you will speak through it and that you will do your work, both in me, God, and in our congregation. We need you to move because everything that comes from this comes from you. And so, God, help me to move to the background and just illuminate your word so that you can speak. In your name we pray. Amen. Well, maybe you've been having a rough week coming into today. Maybe it was hard to get here. Maybe your husband took the keys to the van and drove to church with the keys and left you at home and he had to come and rescue you because he wasn't thinking this morning. So maybe today didn't start how you thought it would start. But maybe also you come today and you feel like you're in a little bit of a spiritual rut. You know, when you open God's word and you take time and it feels like it's empty. It feels like God is far from you. Maybe you're going through a tough situation and you're wondering, why, God, would you allow me to go through this? Maybe life has just been really hard and you felt disconnected from God. And maybe you grew up in the church and you know, you've heard many messages about how to grow spiritually, and you kind of know these things that, if you could throw that up there, Dennis, you know, we know, okay, well, I got to read the Bible and pray, and I need to obey God, and I need to get plugged into a community, and so I come to church to do that, and I need to replicate myself, I need to make disciples, and those things seem so simple, right? And you look through that list, and okay, I can do those things, and yet life happens, and hardships come about, and things happen that makes what seems simple often seem complex. And then we go through life and we wonder why it seems like other people are growing spiritually and I'm not. You know, Charles Stanley lists 7 reasons why we fail to grow spiritually. First might just be a lack of instruction. Maybe when we came to know Jesus, you know, maybe we came to know Jesus really recently and we're like, I don't know what next steps to take. I don't know, what am I supposed to do? What's the next step to do? Maybe you've neglected reading the Bible and prayer and church. You've neglected these things that cause us to draw near to Christ. Maybe you've have a negative influence from some other people. You know, when you go to work and you're working with somebody 50 hours a week and they can, you know, are always talking a certain way and acting a certain way, and that can start to rub off. Or maybe you have a group of friends that every time you hang out with them, they're pushing you to be less and less like Jesus and more like them. Maybe there's some uncertainty you have right now about your beliefs. You mean you've grown up and you think, I believe this certain thing, but maybe as life has intersected and things have happened, you started to question what you've always known. Maybe there's this lure of the things that the world offers. You know, there's so many things that the world suggests will give us satisfaction. If I just had a better job, if I just had more friends, if I just had that new sweet TV, if I just had this car that didn't break down all the time, if I had this, then I would be happy. And there's this lure to find our satisfaction in different things. Maybe during this time you're starting to doubt God. Or maybe there's temptations. Maybe right now you're struggling with certain sins and you feel like you're in this cycle of failure and you come out of it and then you make a mistake again and every time you seem to be making progression and you fail. You know, whatever it is, there are things that keep us from growing. You know, I'd like to add a few to Charles Stanley's list. Busyness. Maybe life is just so busy that you use that as a time to say, well, I don't have really time to connect with God. And even though I have time to connect with my Facebook, I have time to connect with other things. I'm just too busy. You know, it's really easy for us as Americans to make that excuse. I remember in youth ministry, I was talking to this teen, and he was saying how he's just too busy to do devotions. And then about a half an hour later, he told me that he had watched the entire season of Arrow in a day and a half. I think there was like 24 episodes. It's easy for us to think we're more busy than we really are. Another one is distraction. Our society is so fast-paced that there's so many things to distract, and especially if we do our devotions on our phone, and we pull out our phone, and we pull out the Bible app, and we start reading, and then there's a notification from Facebook that so-and-so commented on your post. And you go, I wonder what they said. Oh. And you go on that, and the next thing you know, you've been on Facebook for a half an hour, and you used your whole time that you were planning to spend with God. Or if you have kids, you sit down to read, and you know, you get going, and daddy, and then there's all this stuff, and then when you're ADD, not that I would know what that's like. Maybe it's the comfort. You know, I don't know about you, but this time of year, especially when it first turns cold, the thing I want to do more than anything else when I get done with work is to go home and put on some pajamas and get under something warm and just relax. Like, there is nothing more appealing to me than that. It's just, and it's so easy for us to want to have comfort, and that can get in the way of our time with the Lord. And even, I think, a really big one in our culture is a misunderstanding of God's grace. As I was reading this week, I was struck by something really profound. You know, right before Jesus, we're going to be in a passage, this is right before Jesus heads to the cross. And Peter says, look, I'm never going to deny you. I would die before I would deny you. And then when the guards come, Peter's the first one, reaches a sword, and he cuts off a guy's ear. I'm like, well, he must not use a sword very often. I don't know how he ended with just the ear. But he's first to step in line. I'm going to protect you, Jesus. And Jesus says, no, and he heals the guy's ear. And then Peter is the one that says, I will do anything for you. And yet, as Peter follows off in a distance, wondering what's going to happen to Jesus, when he's asked, wait, aren't you one of his disciples? He rejects it. And three times says no. And that third time, Jesus looks across and Peter sees the Savior's face and the rooster crows. And he has just denied Jesus three times. He's so devastated. But fast forward a little bit. Peter's out on the boat fishing, sees Jesus on the shore. All the other guys, okay, we're going to turn the boat around. We're going to head to shore. What does Peter do? He immediately dives into the water and just to swim to shore. He can't wait to see Jesus. See, here's the thing. When we fail, our first response, our visceral response is to run away. When we have confrontation with somebody, what our first response is, we want to avoid them. You know, if I ever get in a disagreement with my wife, we don't have arguments, just disagreements. Whenever I get in a disagreement with my wife, I'd rather just, you know, go off, you know. But when we mess up with God, our first inclination is usually, well, I'm going to avoid him for now, and I'm going to fix it myself, and I'm going to live well for the next 3 weeks. And then once I've fixed it and I've showed a pattern that I can do well, then I'm going to come back to God and go, God, I'm really sorry about what I did 2 weeks ago, but look at how I'm doing now. But the Bible paints a picture of a God who wants us in that moment, the second we fail, to turn to him and to go to him. And he's like the son who is waiting for the prodigal to come back, who's running to him. He's the one standing at the door knocking and asking to come in and renew that fellowship. He says in Hebrews 4 that we're to boldly come before the throne of grace with confidence, knowing that we'll receive mercy and grace in our time of need. And oftentimes the reason why we struggle spiritually is because instead of in our failures turning immediately to Jesus, in our failures we run away. And then the chasm between us and God becomes greater, not because of God moving, but because of us moving away from God. When God wants us, desires us to turn back to him. So we have all these different issues that cause us to struggle spiritually. But I think the number one issue related to spiritual growth comes down to our connectedness with God. Are we walking with God through prayer and Bible reading? Are we meditating on his words? Are we allowing him to change us? Psalms 1 puts it this way. Blessed is the one who does not walk in step with the wicked, or stand in the way that sinners take, or sit in the company of mockers, but whose delight is in the law of the Lord, and who meditates on his law day and night. That person is like a tree planted by streams of water, which yields its fruit in season, and whose leaf does not wither. Whatever they do prospers. Not so the wicked. They are like chaff that the wind blows away. Therefore, the wicked will not stand in the judgment, nor sinners in the assembly of the righteous. For the Lord watches over the way of the righteous, but the way of the wicked leads to destruction. Notice a couple things here. He says, you're blessed when you delight in God's word, when you delight in the law of the Lord, when you take pleasure in it, and when you meditate on it day and night, when you think about it throughout the day and throughout the night, that's not just something you pull aside and you read and you let it pass. And then he paints this picture. See, in ancient Israel, well, actually in ancient times, period, the most important thing was water. Because if you were not by water, then you didn't have a way to feed your animals, You didn't have a way to give drink. I can't even say it right. The animals were thirsty. Let's just put it that way. So if you weren't by water, the animals were thirsty. If you weren't by water, it was a struggle to grow your crops. So wars would always happen over places that were by rivers, places that were by lakes. It was the prime land. And so what David is saying is, look, if you want to be blessed, you meditate on God's word day and night, you delight in it, you're like this tree that's planted by water, because the tree planted by streams of living water always had access to life. It wasn't dependent upon rain. It wasn't dependent upon other circumstances. It always had access. So we think about growing spiritually. We want to be planted in streams. We want to have this connection. Jesus in John 15 uses a different analogy, and he actually takes something that would have been really familiar to the Israelites. All throughout the Old Testament, we see that God is talking to Israelites and calls them the vine. But we see time and time again that Israel failed. In fact, in Jeremiah 2:21, he says, I had planted you like a choice vine of sound and reliable stock. How then did you turn against me into a corrupt and wild vine? God's purpose for the nations was the nation of Israel to be this God-honoring thing that people could come and be part of and experience God. And yet, Jesus turns it around and he says, look, Israel has failed, but look at me. I am the true vine. If you want to be connected to God, if you want to have a way to God, you come to me. I am the true vine. And my Father is the gardener. He cuts off every branch in me that bears no fruit. Well, every branch that does bear fruit, he prunes so that it will be even more fruitful. You are already clean because of the word I have spoken to you. Remain in me as I also remain in you. No branch can bear fruit by itself. It must remain in the vine. Neither can you bear fruit unless you remain in me. I am the vine and you are the branches. If you remain in me and I in you, you will bear much fruit. Apart from me, you can do nothing. If you do not remain in me, you are like a branch that is thrown away and withers. Such branches are picked up, thrown into the fire, and burned. If you remain in me and my words remain in you, ask whatever you wish and it will be done for you. This is to my Father's glory, that you will bear much fruit, showing yourselves to be my disciples. As the Father has loved me, so have I loved you. Now remain in my love. If you keep my commands, you will remain in my love, just as I have kept my Father's commands and remain in his love. I have told you this so that my joy may be in you and that your joy may be complete. My command is this, love each other as I have loved you. Greater love has no one than this, to lay down one's life for one's friends. You are my friends if you do what I command. I no longer call you servants because a servant does not know his master's business. Instead, I have called you friends. For everything I learned from my Father I have made known to you. You did not choose me, but I chose you and appointed you so you might go and bear fruit, fruit that will last, and so that whatever you ask in my name, the Father will give you. This is my command, love each other. And before we head into that passage and look at some reflections, I do want to take a caveat. I don't have enough time today to look at all the different ramifications. I'm just going to look at this and relate it to spiritual growth. But I do want to say that when you read this passage, I want to say that this is not talking about a believer who loses their salvation. We can see in many other places when you look at the scriptures that when someone puts their faith and trust in Jesus Christ, that at that moment they are adopted into God's family. They are sealed by the Holy Spirit for the day of redemption. They are brought into God's family. And so, you know, 1 John 2:19, John is talking about people that look like they have been followers. He said, they went out from among us, but they did not belong to us. They would have remained with us, but their going showed that none of them belonged to us. So those that were cast aside are those that really never belonged. In Matthew 7, Jesus says, not everyone who says to me, Lord, Lord, will enter the kingdom of heaven, but only the one who does the will of the Father who is in heaven. Many will say to me on that day, Lord, did I not prophesy in your name, and in your name drive out demons, and in your name perform many miracles? Then I will tell them plainly, I never knew you. Away from me, you evildoers. So there's this idea that really it comes down to a real faith. There are people that Jesus said, look, I never knew you. And even we see in Judas, Judas is here, he's part of the 12, and yet he didn't remain in Christ. He never was a true follower of Christ. So now that we have that out of the way, and if you want to talk to me more depth, please come talk to me. That's not the main purpose of this message. Let's go to some reflections about spiritual growth from John 15. First, we can't bear fruit unless we are connected to Jesus. He says, remain in me as I also remain in you. No branch can bear fruit by itself. It must remain in the vine. Neither can you bear fruit unless you remain in me. This last Thursday, it was like one of those, you know, in Michigan, sometimes you get those times where like winter is coming. And so you go, I need to rake the leaves. And I have one of those trees that the leaves fall late. So that beautiful Saturday where maybe a lot of you were out raking leaves, my tree was still like, nope, not yet. It was just standing there, it was mocking me. It's like, I'm going to wait until it gets cold and then I'm going to drop all my leaves. So they started falling this week. So Thursday was like the only day that wasn't going to be snowing. So I had to go out there and I have this electric leaf blower. And the electric leaf blower is a leaf blower that has a cord. And you're very limited in how you can blow the leaves because only as far as the cord can go. So I did make a purchase on Amazon shortly after the story. But the point is you go out with the leaf blower and you can only do something if it's connected to the source of power. If I had the leaf blower and it wasn't plugged in, my neighbors would look at me crazy because I'd be sitting there going, and no leaves would be blowing. There is no way to use an electric leaf blower without being plugged into the wall. You need to be connected to the source. In the same way, many of us are sitting there, we're facing our struggles in this earth, and we have all these leaves in front of us, we have all these trials, we have all these struggles, and we're sitting there with a leaf blower, and we're not connected to Jesus, and we're sitting there going, why are these problems still there? How come nothing's happening? God, where are you? And yet we're not connected to Jesus. If we want to have power and authority and we want to have this source of joy and strength, then we need to be connected to the source of life. And a lot of times we walk through life not connected and we are bearing no fruit. And then we go, why can't we bear any fruit? John MacArthur, when looking at this fruit, he said there's fruits of action and fruits of attitude. And the fruits of attitude are the fruits of the Spirit. We see it in our life. Love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, gentleness, faithfulness, self-control. All those things flow out of attitude. And really, they start with love. When we have love, then we start to experience joy. And joy produces peace, and peace produces patience, and all those things work together. Those are fruits. The fruits are our attitude. And we see that when we're connected to Jesus, we start to see those fruits come about despite our circumstances. See, the attitude isn't dependent on circumstances. The fruits of the Spirit aren't dependent on if life is good or life is bad. When you don't have the fruits of the Spirit, what we find is when life is good and great things happen and Michigan wins, I'm happy and everything's good. And then when circumstances go bad, then I'm frustrated. But the fruits of the Spirit are not dependent upon circumstances. So there's these fruits of attitude, but there's also fruits of action. And when we're connected to Jesus, it should cause us to act. It should cause us to do things. It should cause us to live differently so that when other people see us, they go, what is different? Why does he act different than other people that I know? So we can't bear fruit unless we're connected to the source. It'd be like a leaf blower that's electric with no cord, and we're just sitting there going, why are the leaves not moving? Second, if we abide in Christ, we will bear fruit. Verse 5, I am the vine, you are the branches. If you remain in me and I in you, you will bear much fruit. Because apart from me, you can do nothing. If we're connected to God, if we're spending that time with God, if we're allowing him to transform us, then we will bear fruit. And maybe it's a little fruit, maybe it's a lot of fruit, but we will bear fruit. You take a branch and you cut it off. You know, I'm like, well, I really like Trying to think of a fruit that I'm allowed to eat that's on a tree. If you're new here, I can't eat fructose. It's like in all the every tree I can think of that bears fruit has fructose. So I'm going to take a tree. Well, I'll just do apples. I love apples. I wish I could eat apples. So if I could once again eat apples, it would be a happy, happy day in the Severn household. So I went to an apple orchard. I was like, I want apples. And I cut off a whole branch with a whole bunch of apples. And I took that branch to my house and I set it outside. And I go, awesome. I'm going to get some apples in a couple weeks. Would I get apples? No, because if you separate the branch from the tree, you're not going to get the fruit. And so often we try to get this fruit, but we're not even connected to the tree. But if we abide in Christ, we will bear fruit. Also, God wants to answer our prayers when we're connected to him. In verse 7, if you remain in me and my words remain in you, ask whatever you wish and it will be done for you. Verse 16, I chose you and appointed you so that you might go and bear fruit, fruit that will last, and so that whatever you ask in my name, the Father will give you. Now, I want to put a caveat here. And that's this, if we're truly connected to Jesus, if we're truly abiding in Jesus, then he changes the way we pray. And we start to pray similar to Jesus, thy will be done, not my will be done. And so it's easy for us to read this and go, awesome, I get to pray, my will be done, and God, you can do my will. But the reality is when we're really connected to Jesus, when we're following him, we start to change the way we pray. We pray that thy will be done, and then we see God working out his will, even when it sometimes doesn't fit with what we want to see. Verse 10, we need to keep God's commands. If you keep my commands, you remain in my love, just as I have kept my Father's commands and remain in his love. The reality is God has given us these commands because he knows what's best for us. Seen it time and time and time again in my life. When I am submitting to God's plans, I'm submitting to his commands, then he blesses me in a different way than if I went after my selfish desires. God knows it's best for us. Next, when we abide in Jesus, God gives us joy. Verse 11, I have told you this so that my joy may be in you and that your joy may be complete. God wants to give us joy. You know, one of my favorite songs right now is by this band called For King and Country, and they have a song called Joy, and the whole chorus is, I choose joy, and it says it probably too many times, but I love that every day I'm listening to that and go, God, today I'm choosing your joy. Despite the circumstances, whatever is here, I'm choosing to enter into this and to choose joy and to choose to be thankful for what you have given me. Next, says that God calls us his friends. This is crazy. We don't deserve this. I no longer call you servants because a servant does not know his master's business. Instead, I have called you friends. For everything that I learned from my Father, I have made known to you. God treats us in a way that we do not deserve. And then God's will is for us to bear fruit. It's what God desires for us. Verse 8, this is to my Father's glory that you bear much fruit, showing yourselves to be my disciples. Verse 16, you did not choose me, but I chose you and appointed you so you might go and bear fruit, fruit that will last. Ephesians 2:10, after it talks about how we're saved by grace through faith and it's not by our works and it's not something that we can earn, something that we can do, it says this, for we are God's handiwork, created in Christ Jesus to do good works, which he prepared in advance for us to do. You see, God has a plan for us. God created us for a purpose. He created us to bear fruit. When we stay disconnected from God, we miss the opportunity to do what God created us to do, to bear much fruit. I'm convinced that there may be no greater evidence in our lives that we are abiding in Jesus than when we are loving others well. We love our spouse well. We love our kids well. We love our friends well. We love our boss who might not treat us well. We love him well. When we love our coworker that annoys us well, when we love the person that we've had conflict well, we reflect God. In verse 12, he says, my command is this, love each other as I have loved you. Then he paints this picture about what he's going to do. Greater love has no one than this, to lay down one's life for one's friends. He's just called them his friends. He says, you are my friends if you do what I command. This is my command love each other. Jesus, in a couple other places, said that the two things that will allow outsiders, those who don't know Jesus, to know who he is how we love each other and our unity. See, when people walk through the door and they see a place where they're loved unconditionally, and when there's unity around a purpose and around what God's doing, then it's different. And they want to know why. For years, I built youth ministries on that single premise. If I can create a place where kids come and they know they're loved and they're valued and they're accepted, then they're going to ask why. And when they ask why, we immediately point them to Jesus and say, this is why. And so many kids' lives were changed because they just experienced real community and they experienced sacrificial love, and that is different than everywhere else in the world. We need to be people that love. So last week, I gave you a challenge for the next 90 days to, if you're not a person who tithes, to tithe, to see how God blesses what you give for the next 90 days. I want to give you a different 90-day challenge today, and it's called a 5x7 challenge. I didn't print 5x7 cards or anything like that, but the idea is this. Often when we think about our walk with God, we think about, did I do my devotions today? That's often, you know, I grew up in a church, and it was always, you know, everything was that thought about, did I do that today? But it's easy to walk through the day and to not realize that God is with us every moment of every day. And he gives us strength for that tough meeting at work. He gives us the ability to love that person that's hard to love. So instead of thinking of just, okay, I'm going to set aside this one time for God, I want to challenge you over the next 90 days to say, you know, 5 times a day, 7 days a week, I'm going to connect back to the vine. I'm going to plug in my leaf blower 5 times a day. I'm going to connect with Jesus. And even if it's a short connection, even if it's a, okay, what I'm going to do, I'm going to plan it out. You know, you're an organized person. Maybe you put in your phone so alarm goes off, and, you know, maybe make it a weird alarm so when it goes off, everybody's like, what is that? Well, it's my reminder to plug the leaf blower in. That'd be fun at work to say that. But the point is that I'm going to be purposeful about setting aside time throughout the day, even if it's just a moment, to connect with Jesus. And so maybe you have certain times of the day that are really difficult. I would encourage you to set aside that time. Do you know that God is present in every circumstance? And what that means is that you don't have to close your eyes to pray. You know, you can drive and pray, and please do not close your eyes if you drive and pray. But on your way to work, as you prepare to go to work, you can pray in those moments. You know, as you're heading into a meeting, you can pray. Maybe you make a decision, every time I see this person, whatever his name is, I'm going to pray because right now I can't stand him. So every time I see him, I'm just going to stop and I'm going to pray. You don't have to stop and, like, the guy's going to be really weirded out. If every time he sees you, he's like, oh. not like that, right? You know, but just in your head, just stop. God, just help me right now to love this person that's really hard to love. And think about our walk with Christ as a way of being continually connected to the vine, continually connected to the tree, continually connected, having the leaf blower connected, so that in every moment we can go to God and know that he's with us. And we see these examples in the Bible. We see that David said, 7 times a day, I praise you for your righteous laws. Another place he said, evening, noon, and morning, I pray to you. Daniel, we know that 3 times a day he got down on his knees and prayed, giving thanks to God. Peter, we talks about what it says in 3 in the afternoon, when it was his time to pray. At the noontime, as it was his time to pray, we see Peter setting aside these specific times to pray. So I want to encourage you to set aside time each day, and it doesn't have to be time that's set aside, so to speak, but just these reminders that I need to connect with God throughout the day, not just a one-time thing. But I also want to encourage you to do a couple things in one of those connections. So maybe, you know, maybe think through adding one of these to one of your connections. The first is, I want to encourage you to pray for our church. You know, we need God to move. This will not be successful unless God is the one that makes it successful. So I encourage you, when you're taking those time to stop, to maybe take a minute to pray for our church. One practical way that you can pray for our church, so in the back there's a sign up. We have this prayer directory, thank you, I looked at Bev and it just came back to my head. Prayer directory, and it has pictures of the people in the church, and in your bulletin there is actually a place where you can submit a long-term prayer request for the whole church body to pray for, or you can email it to Bev. It gets added to that prayer directory, and then as you find time, you can open the prayer directory and you can look and you can pray for the people in our church. And I want to encourage you, when you start praying for people, you start loving them at a deeper level. So you can take that in the bulletin, you can fill that out so other people will pray for you. You can sign up for a directory in the back so that you can get that, so you can be praying for the people of our church. Also, we just received these great prayer journals from RBC Ministries. I think they're in the office, but they can be out there next week. You can pick those up. For those of you that are married or have kids, I want to encourage you to take one of those five connections and pray with your spouse. Our marriage changed when we started praying together most every day. I would encourage you to take one of those times and pray with your kids, to encourage your kids. During one of those connections, or one of those five connections, I would encourage you to spend time in God's Word. As I've said throughout this series, that the number one contributor to spiritual growth is daily reading God's Word. That when a person daily reads God's Word and increases all the other spiritual disciplines, it affects all the other spiritual disciplines. You can add the other disciplines, and they affect some, but you add daily reading of God's Word, it affects every other spiritual discipline. In our we have journals out there to use, and we use the HEAR method. The idea is that you read through a passage and you highlight a verse in that passage, and okay, what does that verse mean? You look at the words, the verses ahead of it, look at the words verses behind it. Okay, what does this verse mean? And then you apply it. Applying it is such an important step when you read God's Word, because if you don't apply it, then it's just, you're just making God's Word a book. You know, like another book where you read through the newspaper. Oh, that's interesting. We take God's Word and we apply it. We're saying, this should change my life. And then we respond in some way. And so you can pick those journals on the back. You can go on our website. You can look up spiritual growth to look up how to do that. But it's so important that we take time when we read God's Word to reflect, because it's easy to put it on the check mark, put it in the check box. You know, we have those little daily Bible readings, and we read it and we put a little, maybe it even has a check mark by it, and you put a little check mark by it, and I'm good, I'm done. But remember, Psalms 1, it said we're to meditate on it day and night, to delight in it. It's this idea that God's Word should continually be on our minds, not something that we just do. But if your Christianity is first and foremost about a relationship with your Creator and Savior, then your actions will flow out of that. So I want to look real quick at Colossians 1, in verse 9. It says, "For this reason, since the day we heard about you, we've not stopped praying for you. We continually ask God to fill you with knowledge of His will throughout all wisdom and understanding the Spirit gives, so that." I love the "so that" verses in the Scriptures. "So that you may live a life worthy of the Lord and please Him in every way." So the question becomes, how do I live a life worthy of the Lord? How do I please God? Watch this. Bearing fruit. So we're called to bear fruit in every good work. Bearing fruit in every good work. Growing in the knowledge of God. When we read the Scriptures, we grow in our knowledge of God. When we come to church, we learn, we grow in the knowledge of God. Being strengthened with all power. We're connected to that power source. We don't have to do it on our own. Being strengthened with power according to His glorious might, so that you may have great endurance and patience. When we're connected, we experience it. Even in hardships, we get endurance. We learn to go through it. We gain patience. And giving joyful thanks. Joyful thanks allows us to put things in perspective of what's happening in our life to the Father who has qualified you to share in the inheritance of His holy people in the kingdom of light. And then verse 13, he continues. This is the reason why we stay connected to Jesus. This is the reason why we can rejoice. This is the reason why we have life. For He has rescued us from the dominion of darkness and brought us into the kingdom of the Son He loves, in whom we have redemption and forgiveness of sins. Jesus Christ died on the cross. When He was talking to His disciples in John 15, He was foreshadowing the moment He was going to go to the cross and suffer for their sin and their shame so that they could have eternal life. Because we can't get to heaven based on our own good works. We can only get to heaven because Christ came down for us. And we attain salvation by putting our faith in Jesus Christ, who the Bible calls him the author and perfecter of our faith. He created the story. He's the one that saved us, and he's the one that continues to work in us after we've been saved. So if you've never put your faith and trust in Christ, please come talk to me or talk to the friend that brought you to the church today and think through that. I want you today to walk away part of the family of God. And I want to leave you with this closing thought. Don't be a cordless leaf blower that's not connected to the power source. When you survey your life and you look at all the troubles ahead of you, it's kind of like coming home on a Thursday and going, it's snowing tomorrow, I need to do all these leaves. And then, by the way, right after it snowed, then they all fell, so it looks like I didn't even do it. But you're surveying the field and you're going, I need to take care of this. And if you're not connected to the power source, then you're going to find yourself frustrated, struggling. And instead, I want you to consider connecting to the power source. Spend daily time, 5 times a day, just connecting with God throughout the day. Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, God, I thank you for how you love us, and I thank you that you are always with us. Emmanuel, God with us. As we prepare now to get ready for Christmas, as you walk in the stores and everything's transitioning to Christmas, we think about the fact that you came to this earth and you were born as a little baby with the purpose ultimately of dying for us. So we thank you. And God, help us this week to connect to you throughout the day, not just 1 time a day or not even 0 times a day, but saying, God, I want to be continually connected to the vine. I don't want to miss out on the opportunity to be connected to my Savior. Help us do that this week. In your name we pray. Amen.